Hello. Testing, testing, testing. Yeah, what happens to understand, and I didn't have the mic on, like a Trump, but you know, we are going through quite a organizational change. We're trying to, you know, cushion it up. Like who's in, you know, this NTNU split went quite interesting. So the IT department and all this, is this the IT budget? Is this the UVic budget? Is this whatever? There's a lot of those small little administrative things that are quite confusing to us all. They haven't really helped with the merge. So in terms of making the budget, like whose budget we're going to spend, who decides on the budget, how much UVic gets and how much John gets. And even posing the question that way gets, it's not a question of getting. Is it what they need? Is it what they want? Who gets what they want and who gets what they need? And these are issues we can get into. All the time. Nothing new. You see that? And then you're going to have to do that too. And often what you will see, it's a question of crowd. It's often putting the question at the right time to the right time. But you have one, that's good. And is it imposing too much to request that you do it tomorrow? Hello. I agree. Absolutely. So, but you saw the other homework. Have you done the other homework? Have you done it? Which was that? Yeah. Oh, no, find one and not defend it so much as just present it. So that's one of the problems with this course. I mean, you guys you have these other courses that are so a bit more demanding. As they say, you know how to speak, and you know how to do PowerPoint, so what the heck do I have to sit here for? Or what, I have to open the book, right? And it's the point, I have to sort of inspire you to read the book, because there's a lot of knowledge there that you don't have. Yeah. Well, it's, I didn't know it was in Bethlehem. Yeah, I do that too. I mean, but I do this. I don't have a budget. I don't know where you get your budget. I can never figure out who. And it's, as I say, it's not university yet. I had that before. I find this subject can't really be taught by reading. It requires interaction. Hi, Lou's online. This is being recorded. We started the session at 5 o'clock and we'll end at probably about an hour. We see how long it goes because we have three students here today. And the purpose of these seminars is to practice rhetoric and discuss rhetoric. I will give some presentations and some lectures on some issues. Make sure my slide's up. It's bothering me that I don't have the right screen configuration. Everybody has the screens up? Can you check if it's streaming, please? forlisting.big.no. No, it's not streaming. Sorry, no, I'm recording. I said I wasn't going to stream. So this is recording, so you can't test it. But I think the last one was there because the student said he could see it. That's good. Yeah. Good. You have to order. I ordered it, yeah. Well, this is going to drive me nuts. Come on, why isn't it? It's F8, right? Extend, duplicate. Amazing how we use these. I was taking the bus here. I have this whole lecture. I wanted to actually change the what we're going to talk a bit about today, depending on how the homework goes. As I say, the homework is to prepare and tell a ghost story. The statement about ethos, pathos, and logos. Women take less risk than men, therefore they are less of a security problem than men. Read chapters 1 through 5. And I reread chapters 1 and 2 on the bus again. And there's one, I have some other twists I'd like to put into this and some of the research I'm doing now. And I will just go through, I will refer to the pages of this now. I tried to put some of the material into the slide pack, which didn't work. And it has to do with the first principles. I want to talk about what is called first principles of argumentation. And then be prepared to discuss YouTube links, the slide, if you find anything, right? How many people are coming tomorrow? 1, 2, 3, if health-wise. Are you not there for the ghost stories? 3:30. Okay. I wonder if it's going to be there. That's my ghost story. I don't know. But it happens. These things happen. But usually we're going to say pizza, but the pizza wasn't advertised well enough. Did you notice that? I guess it's fruit and coffee or something. No, I don't want fruit and coffee. Pizza. I know I can get students in order with a free pizza on a Friday night. Come on, Friday. But okay, we see. So that was the information. Now, there's another issue here that I will bring up in this presentation, is we have something called a questioning competition. So we have some software we developed to have crowd interaction and questioning. And the way it works is that you ask a question into a website. It has to be done by a website. And people vote whether the question is quality or not. So the people attending the conference vote. And the one who asks the best questions will get some prizes. And the third one is, I mentioned this to some other students, I have the funding to take a team of four individuals to Geneva to compete in the Cybersecurity 912 Challenge. And this is sort of a kickoff for that. And I'll show you, if you had the chance to look at the slides, these will be posted. The links are there, and we talk about that challenge later. That's the slide here. Ah, interesting. My picture's not working. Or are they working for you? But see, what happens is the pictures were there. There's no picture, so you don't see any pictures. Yeah. Let's see what I do. I'm going to, sorry for people online, I'm going to have to hop out of here for a while and see why. And as usual, Microsoft has decided to do things here. What it was, I think, is that I had to remove the hard disk. We're sorry, something went wrong with the PowerPoint and stability. Please save your presentation and restart PowerPoint. Now, you notice it's interesting with the communication now, right? Because I cannot save my presentation. So how do I deal with this? This happens to me all the time. Go on to this. What should I do now? We go without the pictures. And then we have a bit of a break and I restart it. So I want to get you guys going and maybe talking together about things. Because we have three individuals here, as I say, and this is a seminar. It's funny, that picture's there, huh? Well, the top, yes. Yes and no. The topic is, the scenario is being written as we speak. So the topic is that there is a security incident someplace in Europe. Last year, the incident was that the Serbian power grid went down because of a hack. And it escalates up to turn out that it's actually the Russians. One of the notions that came in, it was the Russians sort of having a preempted cyber war and having distracting NATO to look at this while they're going through the Polish corridor, because then someone starts attacking a NATO base in Hungary. So what happens, you have these, what is called kinetic warfare and non-kinetic warfare. That's what you're trying to figure out. I will show you more. I have the last year's scenarios, so I will make copies of them. I only have them on paper. I will copy them and we can look at some of the videos. The videos, you have about 5 to 10 minutes to present to the decision makers. And you have to write position papers and you have to present them. Yeah. I will show you them when they're done. I have all this stuff. I can talk about this next class. Okay, so register for this. And I just want to see how the queue rate thing is working. This doesn't look good. I think I might have to start the system here. So we can jump back to that and I get the system set up during the break, so I want to get you guys working. So I'll go back to the Q rate and the competitions after the discussion here now. So this is the judging criteria for your presentation today. I want us to practice judging. Can you do this diagram? On it? Do you have a paper and pen with you? So I want you to... Yeah. How much do they inform the student? Remember we talked about this before about inform, entertain, command, and motivate? And we have a scale 1 to 3. We're just doing this here in this exercise, and this be a general type of discussion. So we're not actually in the judging form we're going to use for this online. You're just going to have to choose between whether it's 1, 2, and 3, the quality of it. 3 being the top and 1 being the lowest. Or we might change it around all the time. It's always confusing with that, with the scales. So entertains the students, motivates the students, etc. Now, what I'm going to do now to make things easier, I'm going to make a presentation, which is what I did 2-3 years ago, and you guys will judge it from that. Right. Now, the reason I had this here, this is actually a Bluetooth speaker. You know the joke behind this that, you know, I nicknamed myself, actually. Is everybody, you know what a... Astrid Lindgren, yeah. And he always asks, Wafferdodo, why, right? And if you ever had kids, you see that they get to the stage where they always ask why, right? As unfortunately, academically, I got caught in that state, I guess, when I was like 3 years old, and I keep asking why all the time. This thing here, does everybody know this? Now, I'm using different expressions now. For whom the bell tolls, this is Metallica. Has everybody heard that one? Now, what I would do, in a sense, is... So, he's going to let me get in. I'm going to have a commercial.
När lånetilbud är sådana att du själv kan välja det låne som passar dig bäst. Hos oss kan du söka om lån upp till 350 000 kronor. Besök oss allerede idag.
So, I guess I can't skip it.
På lendo.no.
Yes, I sponsor Lando. Yes, that's actually their sponsor. So, now, what you understand about art, what you should understand about rhetoric, is this expression, for whom the bell tolls, is an expression from English literature. And I could play the whole thing. If I jump here, I believe I get to the text, right? So they keep talking about it. So
killed him inside! Shouting gun, how they run through the endless gray. How they fight for the right, yes, but who's to say? For a little men would kill, why they do not know. Sniffing wounds, death the right.
So this expression is known within the English language, historically, and they, as an artist, take that and put it in another framework, right? Yeah. So if we jump back to the slide package here. So what I would have done, which I don't want to set up now, is that I have that music actually going now, and I explain the past now, so I'm trying to educate in this regard. Okay? No man is an island, entity of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me, because I'm involved in mankind, and therefore never sent to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So this is trying to get the notion, it's old English in a sense, but that's where the expression comes from. Basically the notion is about being selfish and understanding death in a collective perspective. Right? So this is a long thing. You can see it's devotion upon the emergent occasion, meditations, etc. So this is something that comes into the language, and he's using his rhetorics of his time to say something. I want to show how rhetorics is constant in one thing, and then it changes form. You've seen the juxtaposition now. So you have Metallica using the tune "For Whom the Bell Tolls," and you have John Donne explaining this now. Now this is a poem I wrote in 1976 when I was a second-year student, actually, in university. So that's when I was in second year, working in computers. So I'm going to tell you a story about that age, right? It made it somehow through plastic masks and candy kisses. Old rituals live hard in the mind of the dying. We still need it, though our winters are not cold and our study nights electric. Old rituals die hard in the minds of the living. Here's to the dead, this night we meet, to celebrate our living with trick or treat. So what happens is that we have rituals. We do things in a certain way, and these rituals, in this case, what this poem is about is that the kids are going out. The tradition of Halloween has changed drastically, whatever. They're not really scared by it, whatever, but we have a function for scaring them. And then people take a ritual and they start using it for something else and then doing these things. But the ritual goes on. So the point is people need rhetoric. They need to be entertained and informed at the same time. This can't be informed. They need to be motivated and commanded at the same time. This can't be motivated and this can be commanded. And we will change these things, right? So this is a story about a computer science student computing in the 1970s. It was late and the lines to the punch card machines were very long. Now, when you did not have keyboards on your desk, as you see now. This is the 80s. This is really, and the horror. I want to show you the horror that you have to face as a computer science student. First you had the lines, and then you had the horror. So this is how we punch code into the computer. We use punch cards. Right? Now, what's really interesting about the system I grew up in is that we were graded differently then in Canada. First off, you're graded on a bell curve. So the top 2% got A's, 14% got B's, and you had the C's, etc. So it's not a question of what you know. It's how better you were than your fellow students. So we had this. It's very competitive in my educational process. Right? Now, if I was a day late, I get a C. 2 days late, I get a D. 3 days late, I get an F. So if I'm late, I can fail, right? So if I'm standing in line, I have a problem because I have to get it in, right? And there's a whole lineup of students getting to do this. Because what happens in the American system, they drop the bottom 25% after the first exam. So you just buy. So what I would say is what you would say. This was actually never said to me, but look to your left, look to your right. Only one of you will be here by the end of the term. It's just a totally different environment about learning, right? So here I am standing in line. The deadline is 23:20. Right? And I have to get the punch cards in. I have to get the code running. And what I know is that on the third floor, like in a building like this, they have this Diablo terminal. They can actually punch it in that way and get to the central computer. Right? Interesting enough, I have a degree in locksmithing. So as a poor student, whatever, and an ex-security guy, I sort of made my way up to the thing, and I got into the lab and started using the chemistry department's terminal. So I'm on the third floor using this. I run up the stairs. And all of a sudden, this big type machine, you should hear it too. These things sounded like machine guns. I'm typing in the code, and it says, Kowalski, you do not have access right to this machine. Terminate immediately the use of this machine, or you will be expelled. Well, I run up and down the stairs, and I finally get it, and I leave the machine. I go, what's okay? They know where I am. I got out when I get marked down. But, and I got a C in the assignment in the end, so I actually made it in time, the people in front of them. But I never know to this day if it was one of my classmates that sent me the message to use the machine, or it was actually an automated process in the computer. Was it the access control system that got me? I realize now it had to be a student because I didn't. Our usernames weren't, you know, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had numbers, whatever. There's no way, I mean, it could have been, but that my name, you know, I was Kowalski at the time. It was not really my badge posting. So I'm sure now that it was a fellow student. Now, what's interesting, what I'm seeing going on in Norway now, I've been here a while, and I saw the same thing going on in Canada, is the Americanization. So Canada's becoming more and more like the Americans in different aspects. So what I think might be happening in Norway is first you guys have accepted the pizzas, and then as resources, the oil fund runs out, and they're going to start charging you, and they're going to introduce the bell curve. So it starts off with pizza, we get everybody liking pizza, then we have the other way, the truth, justice. And it's interesting enough to know that there's 325 Marines. And guess who's presenting tomorrow, did you see? Who? Yes? From the American defense. Right? So two things as students, the message I want to get. Now look to your left. The next time the network crashes at NTNU-Uvik, it may be one of your classmates trying to get an A by ensuring that you get an F. Okay, so how would we, you have the form. I guess we have three people here. I draw the thing. You can take inform, you can take entertain, you can take two, you're a doctoral student. What do you want, command and motivate or whatever? They can see this board, right? They can't hear you, though. That's the biggest problem. Yeah. But I will repeat those things. Whatever. So everything you say, I might be repeating. You know. So I just write this thing here. That's not good. So we said that when you're communicating with your employees and your enemies, right, you have this quadrant. You can inform them. You can entertain them. Now, often what we don't really entertain enemies. What do we do if we have an enemy? What do we try and do with them? We try to distract them? In cybersecurity. Yeah, right? So the entertainment has different issues. One is to entertain them to be scared, etc. But don't forget, we do that, yes. We can entertain them with a honeypot, right? Trap them, etc. So this is to... Now, so our employees, we're trying to motivate them to do good things. And for our enemies, or for the people outside, we're trying to to motivate them not to do things, right? And then command. All right, so this story, you want to have the command and motivate. You want to, what would you say? This is 0, 1, 2, 3. How much did I command in this story? Look to your left, look to your right. Motivation was I'm trying to say there's two ways of judging this too. What was I actually doing and what did I succeed in? That's very difficult, right? So how much of this communication channel was used to motivate people? Okay, I put it. Yes. Okay, so we can say I try to get a 3. Right? And then to inform them, what did I inform them about? I informed them about history a bit. I informed them about the bell curve. Yeah. So that's about, I don't know how much. And entertaining, I think, I tried in a sense because I had Metallica and et cetera, whatever, but I don't think it really got there, right? I mean, I would, you know, I don't think you would pay. I don't think I'd get a standing ovation if I gave this ghost story. Good. So you can say it's almost a 2 here, right? Okay. Okay. Good. Now, what's interesting? I will be doing this tomorrow. So this was the dry run for me. I would be standing there introducing the computer by starting it off, right? Because I have to do that, otherwise people don't. It's difficult to start. So I might as well take the. But I'm not competing. So this is the gist of it, right? Now, whether this is good or bad in terms of my model, so we were working as a team to decide. Okay, we're going to come out and make this ghost story. So if we were collectively doing this as a ghost story, we would have to decide, do we like this stuff? And it all would depend on what? Again. So this is the... This is our audience. This is our crowd. It depends on the crowd distribution, right? I mean, how many people in the audience need to be entertained? And how many people in the audience want to be informed? You have to sort of get some notion of it, right? And that's why it's so hard to say that there's a hard, fast rule. And what you usually see when you're working with this, you judge this right away when you're presenting. And that's the other. So you have to be able to move yourself. And you see this all the time with a lot of people, like, say, the doctoral students presenting things, and they see that the audience is getting bored, so they begin to speak quickly because they have to get all through the PowerPoints and do this quickly so they have everything done quickly. They keep repeating, okay, I'm going to next slide, next slide, next slide. Right? Because they think the important thing, they're there to be informed. And then they lose all the entertainment value. Yes? But you don't believe Chris, but I'm saying, but that's why you're taking this course. It's a skill. I can train you to be have charisma, at least a certain, some people born to it, yes, right, but, and that's what you see when, if you go into the competition, and that's what you see a lot as a teacher, it's tough, a lot of people just have this stuff, right, so we have this situation here now, so how many people are charismatic, and how many people have a hard time speaking, ideally, I guess, what we believe is that it's like this in the population, right, these people are shy, they're not good at public speaking, not good at public speaking, even paranoid. And these people are extroverts and equally distributed. Yeah. Now, but I believe that by taking courses and practicing, that can be changed. That's why you're here, to learn something. We're not here to sort of reinforce what you already are. But a lot of education does that. You see that. But, yeah, so that's good. You have a good... So that's the idea here. And they say I use pictures. I use funny pictures. I have animated pictures. I don't know what that means. And, but the point is, what's interesting sometimes, if I only entertained you, you see this sometimes with some professors, right? Great lecture! Da-da-da-da. You go back afterwards and say, all right, what are the three terms we use in rhetoric? So, I mean, you were happy to all this because you hear again, whatever, but you didn't learn it. So that's a problem, right? So, I mean, you know, and it's called logos, not bagels. Right? And, yeah, it's just like, you know, too. But, and that's the interesting one. And then, why is that? Because if I would have done this now, if I would have had a commanding mode here now, I could have said to you, and I say it now, write down those three terms on your paper. Do it right now. Everybody write the terms. Ethos. All right? Now, I'm commanding you to do that, right? I'm commanding you to explain what ethos is to Galpin. Now, by commanding you like this, we'll see next week if you actually remember those three terms. Right? Because I commanded you. And that's the problem I have today, because in reality, I mean, you know, I was brought up you have to commanding that way, but I can't. I can't sit here and say, write this down. People don't do it. They sit there, they look in the email, etc. It's a huge problem. So we have to entertain so much to get something called AIDA. Okay? So, I'm going to jump to this now. It's the time to do this. I'm going to jump to the video. Sorry, you guys, now. It's called ABC, and then you have AIDA. Has anybody seen that one? Yes. They'll have a 7-minute one and a 2-minute one, but I go over the 2-minute one, and if you want later on, you can see the 7-minute one. Well, actually, we do the 7-minute one, I guess.
Are you talking about what? You talking about bitching about that sale you shot? Some son of a bitch don't want to buy land. Somebody don't want what you're selling. Some broad you're trying to screw, so forth. Let's talk about something important. Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that
Okay, so, let me put some context before I do it. So what this is a group of individuals that are sell real estate. And he's going there to motivate them to sell more. Or is he there to command them to sell more? Is he there to entertain them to sell more? Is he there to inform them to sell more? So...
Coffee down.
That's a command.
Coffee's for closers only.
Information. Information. Coffee is for closers. All right?
You think I'm fucking with you? I am not fucking with you. I'm here from downtown. I'm here from Mitch and Murray.
Ethos. I have the authority to speak to you because it's Mitch and Murray that sent me.
And I'm here on a mission of mercy.
Ratos?
Your name's Levine. You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch? I don't gotta listen to this shit.
You certainly don't, pal. Because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got all you've got just 1 week to regain your job, starting with tonight. Starting with tonight's sit.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Okay, so pay attention to the word attention.
Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives.
Information, but it's ironic information, isn't it? I'm trying to do this. Is it TV? Can you see it more? You don't have to see that much. This is sound. But you can see it, right? I guess the people online can, they have the link. They have the link, whatever. Because they're seeing my screen. Right?
Third prize is you're fired.
You cut the bottom half. Right? This is a system I grew up in, right? You cut the bottom half.
You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads...
Argument.
...are weak. The fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Now, that's interesting there. Being in the business 15 years, does experience give you ethos? Yeah, but it's also, you can see as a logical argument, whatever, but that's the other one, depending on how, if he would have said, I've been in the business 40 years, I've never seen anything like this. So, if you were in that situation, that would be a counter argument. It could be a weak argument of mine. That's the point. You always put some sort of fact into some numbers into an argument to sound a bit more authoritarian.
Fuck you! That's my name! You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name. And your name is your wanting. And you can't play in the man's game. You can't close them. Then go home and tell your wife your troubles. Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. You hear me, you fucking faggots? A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. AIDA, attention, interest, decision, action. Attention, do I have your attention? Interest, are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk. You close or you hit the bricks. Decision, have you made your decision for Christ? And action.
Yeah, you guys can see it later. Now, how does this relate to information security? So, and for rhetorics, ABC, I've sort of taken that over, and I call it always be contextualizing. You always have to contextualize your message to the individual you're going to, right? So remember that when you're sort of having a communicating thing, it has to be contextualized for the audience. For the audience, right? And how did I try to contextualize a bit? I had Metallica, sold, whatever. I had this other stuff, right? I had it as a computer screen. I was a computer student. AIDA. companies have millions of things to worry about. They have millions of risk. Right? So you have to get them, you have to get their attention. Right? And you, people think, well, they should be interested. No, they're interested in everything. So, I mean, you go there, you have to get their attention first. Then you have to get their interest. Then you have to make them to get a decision. Then you have to get them to do something. And all many people go in and they try and sort of get people to make a decision. They're not aware and they're not even interested. They ain't going to make a decision. So this is basic. It's a fuck off, no. But you have to get their attention. Okay. And what's the Information Security Month about? What is the Secure Knock about? Getting attention. Yeah. And then making sure that they're interested in getting a decision. What's the decision? First to come, and then... No, in this case, we have the students. Because the problem is that we have to, going back to this, as I said before, in terms of this problem, what's going to make these are the quantity of students we have in the program, number of students. They have skills and motivation. We have to figure out how to motivate them to learn. So we have, and they can have the skills, but we have to keep motivating them. We have to keep entertaining them. We can't command them to learn. So my job is to teach, right? And to teach, I have to inform, entertain, command, and motivate. What's happened over the years is this motivation thing keeps getting. And entertaining thing gets bigger at the expense that I can't really inform them much. Because I'm spending 60% of my energy in this side, and I can't really say, well, read that book. I have to motivate them to read the book. And what they will do, and what's interesting here, because we don't drop the second quarter, right, people can get by with the DNC. I passed. I'm not going to take myself from here to there. Why do I need an A? Okay, so that's part of... Now, going back to security. Now, our trick, of course, we have to figure out how to do this in the security field. Because we can't stand around and how do we usually do this in our field? How do we get their attention? Nine times ten, you do the thing. They start off with some newspaper clipping, right? They start off with some form of argument. Yes. I'm saying no. As I say, you're doing all four things at the same time. So when you're talking about ethos, pathos, and logos, you can't say. You saw in the speech. It was ethos, pathos, logos, you're mixing them up. And you have to mix them up in the right order at the right time. So remember what I'm going to reiterate. So that was my story. You saw the judgment of it. Now I think how to do it. After the break, I guess you can, do you want to present your story? Time will cover that. Now, I'm going to go to print. Yeah, I think, so we had this before. Do we want to, we have two presentations? Right? We have two presentations. You going to present? You can do it verbally. Don't worry, we're not here. This is a practice, so this is not, you should learn to stand and do this, right? Okay, well, I would just say to the students decided not to present. Yeah. Don't worry. No, because you... Do you want to do it now, right away, or then we take a break? We've been here for 50 minutes. You ready? Do you have your material? You want to put on my machine? You can't. I think you're going to have to take this, though. It would help for the other students.
Closer?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll read your story, and it's a bit silly, I have to admit. So let's... Come on. Let's do it open. And this story, it took place in my previous job. So it's the myth of the ICT area risk assessment. Very scary stuff. This is the true version of a true story that took place on the other side of Mjøsa. According to many, the right side. But as you will realize after this story, maybe we are just as good on this side. It was a dark autumn day in the Lord's year 2013. I was working in Norway's largest and meanest health conglomerate, which administers all the money for the hospitals in the southeast. Which is where all the cold-blooded, ruthless, and sadistic doctors end up. Those who no longer want to treat patients, but instead needs to satisfy their thirst for power and blood. I was in my 29th year of youth at this time. The information security group consisted of two people, my boss, let's call her Anne, and me. We were part of a larger unit for e-health, and we governed aided and assisted projects both at the regional and the local level. Our group consisted of at about 20 people. The average age was, imagine the old vampire councils in the movies. Yes, the average age was ancient. I was by far the youngest, and we were led by this business class financial vampire. Let's call him Thomas the Wolf. In the wolf's mind, there existed only three things: career, money, and power. But I digress. More on the wolf later. Back on point. My information security unit was also organized on the top of a larger security organization that included security personnel from all the hospitals, about 15 in total, and the chief information security officer from the IT supplier, Sick House Partner. In one of the largest hospitals in Oslo, loomed a large evil witch who had a disproportionate appetite for eating privacy. However, this story is not about her. This story is about the risk assessment that disappeared. As many of you know, we use risk assessments to make decisions, important decisions, for example, by contemplating vital questions such as, should I jump? Are there enough women watching? Are they pretty? Will I harm myself? What is the likelihood of harming myself? And will I get all the women if I succeed? In information security, however, we make this kind of assessment only we consider integrity, availability, and confidentiality of information. So, moving on with the story. 3 years before this dark autumn day in 2013, in the Gondor year of the dragon, there had been ordered a risk assessment. Who placed the order? We do not know. But now, in 2013, in the Dothraki year of the conflict, the results had finally emerged. Where it came from, we cannot say. However, there were rumors that the risk assessors lived in trees and had sweat that could be used to clean precious metals. Others claim that they gave birth both to Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal. All we know is that after 3 long years, the dreaded information, communication, and technology risk assessment for the southeastern region health sector came to be. Just like a wicked master plan, all had contributed pieces of information to the document, but indeed no one knew the whole picture. People claimed it to be higher powers working with through intelligent design, but I personally do not know what to believe. All that matters was that we had one risk assessment to govern future risk assessments, one risk assessment to steer the security work, one risk assessment to rule them all. There was only one problem. The risk assessment results were so sensitive that no one could read the document without becoming permanently blind, sterile, and narcoleptic. So after burning through the eyesight and vitality of multiple Oslo consultants, after a long, dark, and tedious process, a spoken summary of the results was synthesized, first in blind text, then converted into binary to protect the readers, and lastly converted into PowerPoint format such that it could be communicated. Though, for the sake of the reproductive abilities of the audience, I shall not recite the content of this dreadful document, which I could not fully comprehend anyway. Then came the day when the risk assessment results were going to be presented to our e-health group. In our monthly meeting, all the ancients gathered in a circle of knowledge and wisdom. Imagine Stonehenge in its prime with the bonfire in the middle. Not exactly like that, but close. Just exchanged the bonfire with the projector. We gathered on this dark, rainy day in this murky room. The walls illuminated with the waves of light from the projector. Seated in a horseshoe formation, the wolf gets up, goes to step into the middle of the horseshoe, and with his ancient powers of bullshitology granted to him by the French business schools, he declared the palaver opened. The wolf introduced the contents of the palaver. First, he himself would recite the ancient prophecies of economics, recited through a reading of the stars and the annual budget. Second, the high priest from the Church of Enterprise Architecture would read us a passage on stakeholder management from the Togaf Bible. Third, the oracles of project management would shower us with their PRINCE2-based predictions of all running projects. Then at last, Anne would introduce the ICT area risk assessment. Thus, we went through the sacrificial rituals called economics, where we burned the taxpayers' money on the bonfire, and enterprise architecture and project management while we waited to reveal the results. And as the chanting died down and the drums stopped beating, it was InfoSec's turn to partake in the ritual of displaying results. Armed with the mightiest weapons known to InfoSec people, the triplet, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and went into the middle of the horseshoe, arms folded, Western stance. As she put the USB stick into the computer, the light flicked in the room, the temperature immediately dropped 30 degrees. She flicked the slide onto the screen. It read ICT area risk assessment. The room went into complete silence. We could hear the dying roar of a fly being eaten by a ravenous caterpillar in the back of the chamber. Next slide, risk area 1, inadequate security architecture. As Anne recited the 2 most important risks, I could see the people in the room instantly aging 10 years. Next slide, risk area 2, operational environment. 3 more risks. It was just too much to handle for one of the older members. His mind went haywire and he started chanting verses from the ISO 27001 standard in the back of the room. Then the final area, risk area 3, which was known only to people attending the palaver, but I'm sharing this with you now. When they discovered it, it was the real reason why that Icelandic volcano, Eyjafjallajökull, erupted. It was lack of risk management. Completely shell-shocked, the audience were huddled together in terror of what they knew would come next. The estimations of probability and consequence. Before Anne could flip to the next slide, a voice whispered in terror. Probability is not an appropriate measurement of information security risk. Anne replied, your logic is flawed because without probability, all you have is an assessment of consequence, which is not risk. opponent was flown back in terror. At last then came the much feared risk score. 4 risks within the unacceptable area. It was just too much. The proposed treatments were just not good enough. The cost-benefit analysis was flawed. The risks were too severe. The sun illuminated too much. At this point, the wolf stands up, walks firmly into the middle of the room, shuts down the projector. His formerly red hair had visibly thinned during the 10 last minutes. "Thou shall not speak to anyone about what thee have observed here today," he proclaimed. He took Anne out of the meeting room and told her that what she had presented here was not suited for such an old and fragile audience. It would have been best to have told him this in a one-to-one meeting. He vows that he will never present these results to management, and that he shall never risk his neck for information security people ever again. Thus, he actively worked against the information security unit ever since, and last I heard, he was trying to outsource all of our hospital systems to the US and India. And the ICT platform risk assessment. Well, there were whispers that the risk assessment was shoved into the deepest, darkest tray of the largest, oldest, and blackest oaken desk located in the most remote cellar at Sikhaus Partner. Some say it was first AES encrypted with a 256 million bit key. The ciphertext broken into 211 pieces, one piece stored with each of the living Catholic cardinals. The ciphertext, however, is rumored to have been written. The ciphertext key, however, is rumored to have been written and taped to the bottom of the Mars Curiosity rover before launch. And thus, the ICT risk assessment was lost to the ages, never to be seen again.
Thanks. Can I stand up?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. So I'm probably here tomorrow, but we'll see how the...
Sweets. Because you, in this case, if you presented that way, you would have beaten my team at the Swedish team. So did he inform about a cybersecurity problem, risk assessment, right? How you do it? No, how you do risk assessment. What is the problem? It's a meta problem.
That's good.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, you had fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And then what decision? Okay, going back to AIDA, you got their attention, and you got their interest. What do you have to decide when you write a story like it? If you want the difference, what decision do you want to make, and what action do you want to make? So you have to somehow get a command in here and put a command into the story that they should do something. And then people, then you just have fear, uncertainty, and doubt. then the story, it's like, and that's what we do a lot in our business. We cry wolf, and then people started ignoring us because they heard the story before. But they've never heard the story in that format. So that's where you get attention and interest. Then you have to decide, what decision and action do I want this audience to take? Now for me, what you could do if you want, that you deciding to, as the decided to get your doctorate degree, to make sure that in Norway we have evidence-based risk assessment. Right? So you have to have some sort of, what is the moral to the story? So if the students come here, they will learn how to fight the wolf. So you could, if you can modify the story and have some sort of action they can take. See what I'm saying? You did perfectly in Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt. You got their attention, you got their interest, you informed them, but you didn't give them something they could do with it. Now, what did I, in my story, did I do that? Not really, in a sense. I just to be aware of, you know, pizza and the American system. Negative motivation? No, but what he's done, of course, is that he experienced the situation, realized the only way to change the situation is to have better knowledge. The only way, you can't fight these bullets, you can't fight the wolves on the ground. You have to use knowledge. You have to use argumentation. That's what I'm saying, he can change that. Yeah, so no. So, command the students to change and adopt a correct or incorrect cybersecurity behavior, right? So, what you want to command the students is that, and I can wrap it up this way, right? If you want, I can give a suggestion. If in the future, maybe, the decision whether you're going to get health care on a basic level is going to depend on it. So if they don't stop the wolf now, this will be automated. You see what I'm saying? Trying to get something with that. So, and how can you protect yourself against that, right? What's the correct behavior? But what I want to say the correct behavior is to learn about cybersecurity. And you want to do that too, right? Because since he's our, you want me to call, sorry, I'm going to embarrass him. You're our postal boy. You've gone the whole way, right? You took our bachelor, you took our master's, and now you're taking our doctorate. Right? You're the first one, right? And all for that effort for doing, I'm going to give you, you know, if you present this, I'm going to give you a Huawei wireless. I could give you this if you want. It's a Bluetooth speaker. We could have it as a trophy in the future, right? And you can write your name. How about if you just write your name on it? Right? And then you can hand it on to the next year, the person that gets it, right? So you get to write your name on the skull. What do you think? Good enough? Because I can't, okay, but I mean, yeah, but it'd be interesting because last year we had some presentations and it was sort of whatever. But I don't think we should promote this because a lot of people wouldn't want to go up against you. Yeah. No, I'm saying I might not get anybody else. So if you guys spread the word, they go, I'm going to say anything. So I won't let you go first, okay? If there's whatever, you would be the last presenter. Great. All right. Do you want to? Yeah. Well, what we can do is you can present after that as a doctor. I don't know how long. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do? We're going to take a bit of a break. Why? And then you can tell the story there. So So we're going away for 10 minutes now. So set your fast forward to 10 minutes. Thank you.